Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. As of tomorrow, a small stretch on West 28th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues, known as Tin Pan Alley, will be officially recognized by the city as a historical landmark. But why is the area so important? Tin Pan Alley is known as the birthplace of American popular music like this.
When life seems full of clouds and rain, and I am full of nothing and pain, who soothes my thumping, bumping brain? Nobody.
That was Burt Williams singing Nobody, recorded in 1913. The song was first written and published in 1906 on Tin Pan Alley at 42 West 28th Street. You know those tunes, the ones that your parents or your grandparents have been singing and humming, like this one, first written in Tin Pan Alley in 1908 by Jack Northworth and Albert Von Tisler.
Take me out to the ball game, sung by Edward Meeker, Edison Records. Katie, Katie was baseball mad, had the fever and had it bad, just to root for the hometown crew every Sioux. Katie Blue. On a Saturday, her young beau called to see if she'd like to go to see a show, but Miss Kate said no. I'll tell you what you can do. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jacks. I don't care if I never get back.
You got it. Tomorrow, in honor of the official landmark designation, a free concert is being held at the Flatiron North Plaza from 12 to 4 and will be featuring the unstoppable 93-year-old cabaret singer, Marilyn May. With me now to talk about the history of Tin Pan Alley and preview the show are George Calderaro, director of the Tin Pan Alley American Popular Music Project. Hi, George.
Hello.
And Vince Giordano, band leader of the Nighthawks, who will be performing tomorrow. Hi, Vince.
Hello. They had me singing along there. Take me out to the ball game.
How could you not? How could you not? So, George, how did this little stretch of 28th Street become so important to music history?
Well, in the late 19th and early, well, late 19th century, music publishers, sheet music publishers established their businesses. In the period, there were up to 40 music publishers just on 28th Street and the surrounding areas. And the reason why they settled there was because that area around Madison Square Park and going up Broadway was the entertainment and cultural capital of New York City at the turn of the century. And so there were theaters. There was Madison Square Garden, as you know, right over there. There were the Broadway houses. There were cabarets. There were saloons. There were hotels. And all of these places had pianos. All of these places had orchestras, and all of these places needed sheet music. So the industry was created, and actually the music industry was created, the popular music industry was created right there and thrived into the 20th century.
George, who are some of the songwriters we'd recognized who worked on Tin Pan Alley?
Well, Irving Berlin started when he was a teenager. George Gershwin, George M. Cohan, Jerome Kern, Harold Arlen a little bit later. But then you noted Williams and Walker. I wanted to just do a slight correction.
Mm-hmm,
the landmark, five buildings were landmarks, numbers 47 to 55 West 28th Street. And that's actually between Broadway and 6th Avenue. Although you weren't inaccurate because, as I said, saying 5th and 6th, because the whole area was entertainment emporia. And actually, there is a Tin Pan Alley plaque on that block that you noted, 28th Street, between Broad 5th and 6th.
Oh, it gets all wacky up in there. Vince, Vince, how did you originally get interested in the music that came out of Tin Pan Alley?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of old music and tunes on TV when I was young. They played a lot of older things like the Little Rascals and Warner Brothers cartoons and Fleischer cartoons, and my grandmother had a tremendous collection of 78s from the 1920s. So I just gravitated to this, and I was just kind of this weird kid, and I'm just a weird old guy now, but I just love what these writers carved out many, many years ago. Their tunes are still good. They're catchy. Not everyone is gold, not everyone, but so many have sustained and lived on and been revived. And I said, wow, this is wonderful music. So I must make it my mission to keep this music alive.
Well, let's listen to another classic track from Tin Pan Alley from the era, as performed by Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. This is The Dark Town Strutter's Ball, written by Shelton Brooks, who was a black Tin Pan Alley songwriter. This is from 1917. The Nighthawks version, by the way, was recorded for season one of the Boardwalk Empire soundtrack. Let's listen. Get you in the mood for tomorrow, when there'll be a group of performers celebrating the history and landmark designation of New York's Tin Pan Alley. There'll be a free concert at the Flatiron North Plaza from 12 to 4. That was Vince Giordano performing. He's our guest at this hour, as well as George Calderaro, who is the director of the Tin Pan Alley American Popular Music Project. George, why is it important for the city to recognize Tin Pan Alley as a historical landmark?
Actually, the Landmarks Commission designated Tin Pan Alley landmarks in 2019. It was officially ratified by the City Council in 2020, and we all know what happened. This is the first chance we've had to celebrate it, and we jumped at it. I said, okay, this should be safe. It's important because Tin Pan Alley was designated not so much as an architectural landmark, but it's a cultural landmark. And that's based on the significance of the creation of the quote-unquote American popular music, the Great American Songbook, and also the development and creation of the modern music industry, where composers and songwriters and performers were selling directly to sheet music publishers and to other performers. Significantly, also, it was designated because of the Jewish Eastern European immigrants and the African Americans, publishers, songwriters, and performers who worked in the area. I'm really proud to say that Tin Pan Alley has been added to the Landmarks Commission's list of landmarks of significance to Black history, along with landmarks in Harlem and the Apollo and many other places. So it really is that cultural richness and that cultural melting pot that adds to the significance.
Vince, what are we going to hear? What's on the set list for tomorrow?
Well, we have a great bunch of different tunes here. We're going to be backing up a wonderful singer named Danny Backer, and he's going to be playing some Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Mercer, a little bit of later fellas. And then we're going to be playing a little bit of James Reese Europe, some of the old ragtime, what I call ragged jazz, and just the music that kept our parents and grandparents happy. You know, when people had pianos in their houses back then, everybody went down to the sheet music store and they wanted to get the latest hit. And everyone would come around the piano at a party and sing what was the latest Broadway tune or the latest pop tune that these great geniuses came out with, and it really changed the world. And it's so important that we're doing this and recognizing it. We're so happy to be part of this.
George, what are some of the highlights for tomorrow?
The highlights for tomorrow. Well, I've got to start out by saying we have, with our committee, Robert Lamont, Marilyn Lester, wonderful people, have arranged for 40, count them, 40 performers, including our MC, Clea Blackhurst, Natalie Douglas, Anita Gillette, Billy Stritch, Steve Roth, Jill O'Hara, Terry Waldo, Ken Bloom, Jim Brochu, Eric Eva Garcia. I could go on, but people should be there on time because Vince.
It's mind-boggling.
Kick off a couple of minutes, and you know what was wonderful about this when no one we didn't have to ask anyone twice.
Nice.
We said we're saying Tin Pan Alley is a landmark, and we'd love for you to celebrate it with us. And that was all we had to say, right, Vince?
Yeah, well, absolutely. What an honor to be part of this great program tomorrow and be alongside these unbelievable artists. I mean, if you had to go to a top nightclub, you'd pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and hey, it's all for free.
Yeah. And outside, which is great.
Yeah, and the weather is going to be good, thank God. As you noted, it's also launching a new nonprofit, the Tin Pan Alley American Popular Music Project, which we created to continue and commemorate the legacy of Tin Pan Alley. Because like many people, I knew what Tin Pan Alley, I had heard Tin Pan Alley, the expression for all my life, but I never knew what exactly it was and certainly where it was. So when I found out that it was right here on 28th Street between Broadway and 6th and completely vulnerable for demolition, we, a group and I, really dug in our heels and fought for landmark designation with petitions and lobbying and advocacy. Mm-hmm. And some of our elected officials will be with us tomorrow as the Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment, Eric Botcher, the new council person, and also our partners at the 23rd Street Flatiron Partnership, operates
right.
The open streets, which is where we're going to be, right there on the plaza.
Flatiron North Plaza tomorrow from 12 to 4. My guests have been Vince Giordano and George Calderaro. Let's go out on one more track from Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. This is A Hot Time in the Old Time, originally written by Theo A. Metz and Joe Hayden in 1896. This version was recorded by Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks for the 2015 HBO film Bessie.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.